Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
Look at your assets. What assets do you bring to the table? A lot of times people don't look at their own personal assets that they bring, whether it's their personality, whether it's they're comforting to other people, whether they're a good listener and people like to interact with them. Knowing what your assets are that you can bring, we talk about that in our networking, is to say, what assets do you bring to the networking event? Why do people want to spend time with you? What do you have in your background? What do you have to offer to give people? So I think probably looking at two things is, how can people help you and who are they? And how can you help other people? If you put that out there, I guarantee you it'll come back to you.
Hi there, innovator. It's really great to be back with another episode. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. And I trust that you enjoyed my recent conversations with Tony DeVale of Life Masters and with David Breyer, the brand strategist. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Tony DeMayo, who is the founder and CEO of Big Media USA. Tony started his career as a football coach in the US college circuit and progressed to building a sports equipment manufacturing company and then on to internet radio. Tony's been broadcasting since 2004, and he now helps businesses grow through podcasting. In our discussion, Tony talked to me about podcasting with a strategic purpose and with an end in mind, related to quality listens rather than the number of listens. He also described his system for networking with a strategic purpose and how to turn a networking conversation into a relationship. And he shared with us many creative ways to utilize podcasting in your marketing and growth of your business. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Tony DeMayo. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Porter Ranch, California in the USA, Tony DeMayo, who's the founder of Big Media USA. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Tony. It's a real privilege to have you here as my guest.
Well, it's great. It's great to be here. It'd be looks like it's fun to be on somebody else's podcast for a change.
Yeah. Now, Tony, you know, you alluded to having your own podcast. You started your broadcast career back in 2004 with three radio shows in San Diego, covering topics as diverse as golf, travel, and business. And in the meantime, you've produced over 17,000 podcasts with Big Media USA, which is a really impressive number. And you also run a program to help businesses grow through podcasting. So I'm really looking forward to talking all things podcasting. And I know you're big on networking, so we're going to talk a little bit about that as well today. But before we talk about all things podcasting and networking, how did you get into radio first?
Well, I started off life as a football coach, and I went from football coaching into manufacturing exercise equipment and football equipment. And then in my early 30s, I had a big company called Duraflex Sports Products, and I was very fortunate to sell that to an $8 billion conglomerate. So I was interested in a lot of different entrepreneurial type things. When I first heard about internet radio is what it was called back then, It was first called blog radio, then internet radio. I looked at how I could use that to help build my business. I was in the golf business at the time, managing charity golf tournaments. And so what I started doing was I had three shows. I had a business show, I had a travel show, and I had a golf show. And I started to realize that I could interview CEOs of charities, and I could get anybody to do an interview. And it was much easier to do an interview than it was to do a sales call. So I started interviewing CEOs, and that's how we built our model. Our big media model was to take and to be very focused on your podcast. Now, back then, there was a thing called vanity radio, and people would just get on the radio, the internet radio, and talk about themselves, and they'd have a guest, and they'd chit-chat about whatever. And our model is very different. It's very focused on taking a podcaster, and whether it be an attorney, a real estate agent, a financial advisor, and showing them how to use podcasting to build their business. We don't take people and launch them into becoming just podcasters for the sake of podcasting. Mm. And that's been our message ever since 2006 when I founded Big Media. So we take and we interview somebody, and then if they want to become a show host themselves, we coach them through the whole process. We develop a marketing strategy for what they're going to do, and we take them through and develop a podcast show. And one of my questions always to people is ask them how they get their business. And typically people will tell you referrals, and that's easy. But then the next question is very important, is where do you get referrals from? Hmm. That becomes your marketing strategy. So an example, if you're a financial advisor and you're in the 401k space, then you want to have relationships with people that have access to C-level executives at corporations. So that could be attorneys, business attorneys, that could be CPAs, that could be sometimes authors, it could be the boards of charities where they have a large population of C-level executives. And so that's our entire strategy. It's just to really focus and drill down. When somebody picks up the microphone, they know exactly why they're doing that interview. And that's been our strategy all along. And it's been very good for us. It's been a very good strategy. We also do things like we have on our platform. So Big Media USA is a network platform. And I think we have 9 networks and like 130 stations of content. So we're on a lot of verticals. And in those verticals, we show people, give them a marketing strategy, show them what to do. But basically, content is segregated two ways. It's by topic and geographically. So we have stations and then we have channels. We can give a company a station with their own brand. Let's just take an example, remaxradio.com. And then we can break up their content by the different offices they have, which is geographically. Then the agents will have their own radio shows, their own podcasts, and the content then is segregated. So somebody that's interested in buying a home in a certain geographic area will look at agents in that area, not necessarily somebody all the way across the country or around the world. Hmm. But that's just been our marketing strategy since day one.
Yeah, I really like that. So you talk about podcasts with a purpose, and the whole idea of developing a strategic plan to start with, rather than just going out there for vanity purposes, as you mentioned. I think there's a lot of things still, whether it's in podcasting or other online marketing, that's based around vanity, and some of the statistics and download numbers are a little bit skewed towards that, I think. Now, I mean, certainly as someone that started a podcast to build a brand and reputation and then repurposed it really in a strategic way, I'm really interested to learn a little bit more about what are some of the most important things to take into consideration for somebody that's looking to start a podcast, so that it is a strategic podcast rather than just something that they do for the sake of getting visible.
Well, I think what there's a couple of things to look at in starting the podcast. And in our world, again, it's always working with a business. or an individual, you know, professional. But one of the things in building your brand, the other thing you're trying to do is differentiate yourself from all the other people that are in that same space. So whether you're an insurance salesperson or a realtor or somehow you want to differentiate yourself and build your brand. A couple of ways to build your brand. One is building your brand on the people that you interview. So an example, I had a girl come to me. She had just graduated from college and she was a therapist, psychologist, and she wanted to build her brand. She was brand new. And the first person we had her interview was John Gray, who was the author, you know, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And so she interviewed a couple of authors and that got her brand. Then we looked at where she got her clients from and she worked with kids. So we had her interview a couple of local high school principals. And that's how we started to build her brand. But at the same time, we're getting her exposure in the networks that she needs to get exposure into to get clients. So the whole strategy behind doing the podcast is to build a brand is one thing for some people. Some people need it more than others. But I have financial advisors that have interviewed the mayors of their city. They've interviewed ambassadors. And a lot of times, and I talk about the online benefit of a podcast and the offline benefit of a podcast. If you're looking at a financial advisor and they've got 10, 15 podcasts, and you look at the people that they interview and you're really impressed with that, a lot of times you may listen to one podcast and that's it. But by association, they built a brand. So I have a lot of financial advisors that have done that. And so I always tell people to be cautious who you interview to make sure that it's going to help build your brand and the content.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good advice. So kind of two pillars, get, build your brand by showing that you've got the ability to talk to influential people, but then also talking to people that will expose you to their network, which equals your ideal client.
Well, you know, exactly. And I'll tell you what, early on, I think it's still true now, people get excited about how many listeners or how many eyeballs or how many ears they have. And the reality is that if I want to drive a lot of traffic, I could interview a lot of celebrities, but that may necessarily not match up with the market that I'm going to. If my market is reaching C-level executives of corporations and I interview a celebrity and it blows up the number of hits I have, but it's still not going to get me any leads. So we try to talk about quality leads, not the number of leads. And we have two distinct models. We have a B2B model. So we're looking at people that have business to business. And we also have a model where we have B2C, where people need a little bit more traffic. But we want to make sure they're getting the right traffic.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And I think it's still something that pervades all marketing online, whether it's like social media, people still talk about how many likes they have or how many connections or friends or whatever it might be that they have. And the same principle applies, doesn't it? They're sort of focused on the numbers, but they ignore the fact that they may not necessarily be their ideal clients.
Right. Because you have to understand at the end of the day, the reality is people only listen to podcasts that they're interested in. So if you have 10,000 likes, but in that whole mix, you've got three people that are listening to your podcast, then those are really how many potential clients you have of those three people. So that's, you know, people don't listen to podcasts they have no interest in.
Yeah, good point.
Hopefully.
All right. Now, you mentioned earlier that with Big Media USA, you effectively set up channels and networks, a radio network. So how does that work specifically? I mean, you gave us the example of the real estate chain that might be a national real estate chain, and then each location has its own podcast, which makes a lot of sense because the person looking to buy in a local area is specifically interested in issues and topics that relate to that local area, not perhaps, or less so perhaps, what's happening in the national market in real estate. So that makes sense there. But how would it work for, say, other small business, particularly in the B2B space? And you did mention that you've got a different strategy for B2B.
Yeah, we take any kind of a B2B, and let's say, I'll give you a good example. Here's a real example. We had a radio show. I had a woman that was a staffing agency. So she, her entry point to corporations was through the HR department. So we launched a radio show called Talks Business. And in that radio show, the very first person that she interviewed was a very high-powered attorney that dealt with sexual harassment in the workplace. So then what she did is she actually interviewed corporations like Disney, Warner Brothers, Universal. Those are her focus clients. And she interviewed them. And when she asked them on the show, she asked them, said, I'm doing a series on sexual harassment in the workplace, and we want to know what you're doing at Disney to mitigate these problems. So the HR person would love to come on and talk about all the great things they're doing at Disney. So by doing that, she was building relationships with her number one prospects.
Yeah.
So that's a B2B example. A B2C example, and you know, it's kind of funny that it's not funny, but the coronavirus right now, we've had other things that have happened, and probably the cruise industry is one of the industries that have had the most sickness and problems and things with ships. And I did an interview one time with Carnival Cruises. So this is a B2C type example. And the very first question I asked them is, say, you know, I'm scared to death to take a cruise because at the time I think we had the swine flu. And what have you done as a company to make it so that you're a more germ-free environment? Now, you couldn't do that in an ad. You couldn't advertise the answers. But here's what the answers were. They went from like, first thing we've done was made people sanitize their hands before they get on the ship, they get off the ship. Number two, we found that by eliminating large dinners where we prepared the food and had the food out for hours waiting for these banquets, we were better off having like individual type restaurants on the ship. And when people would then order their food, you know, they would prepare the food then and it didn't sit around for a long time. So the advantage of the podcast was that we could take a horrible question. You know, my position was I'm scared to take a cruise, and they could answer that and address that, the fears that I had. You couldn't do that in advertising. It'd be very hard in advertising. And you'd run the risk of maybe having the message wrong. So when we're talking to somebody and they're B2B or we're talking to somebody that's B2C, we're very sensitive to what that audience is and what that target is. Now, where they shoot the interview and where we shoot the interviews out across all the platforms. And obviously, if we're talking to the profile of the person that's going to go on a Carnival cruise, we want to get into the populations of people that, you know, have time, vacations, income, the right income stream. And that's where we want to push or advertise the podcast, is in those different areas.
Yeah, that's a really good example and very topical right now. Of course, by the time we publish this, I'm hoping that maybe things have settled down quite a bit. But as we're talking live right now, it is middle of March and things are pretty crazy at the moment.
Well, it's on the front burner of everybody's mind, no matter what you're doing. And you know, guys like myself that all of a sudden we're having to work remotely and work out of home. And so you have to adjust your schedule. And I think that everybody's got some concerns about what the economy is going to be like and how we're going to recover and what the process is. And actually tomorrow I'm doing a podcast on what the domino effects in different verticals and how some verticals will be good news and some will be bad news and how we're going to adjust to that in the economy. But, you know, podcasting has become a great form of getting information out, and you need to make sure it's quality information. And the old story has never changed, is content is king. Good quality content is always king.
Yep, getting the right content in front of the right people and informing them. I mean, that's one thing to me that is, you know, coming out really clear with all the coronavirus situation right now, is that it is really hard to, there's a lot of information out there. It's really hard to figure out what is the quality information. And we're so reliant on being well-informed in this sort of situation.
Well, I think any kind of information exchange, discernment is the most important, you know, and it's to look at the information, see how it fits. Is it logical? Does it really fit in? Is there any other information out there I can get to support this information? And that's where, you know, really for a lot of businesses where podcasting becomes important, because people may have an idea of how that business operates, but then when, you know, I interview the CEO or the sales manager, or we're working with a company now and it's, we're going to be in a lot of the science behind it. So we'll be interviewing a lot of doctors, and people will get to hear that story from a lot of different people. And if it's all on the same page and it makes sense and there's some good, solid information and good quality people, it really elevates their brand. And that's our goal with the one company we're just working with. But we work with a lot of organizations. We have, you know, this year alone, there'll be thousands of podcasts that'll go up from big media. And all of those have to have a specific plan and purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you talk about podcasts with a purpose. And one of the things you've written is that the most important work is actually done before you even put up the microphones. And so tell us a little bit about that, and particularly, you know, the three pillars, which you talk about: planning, interviewing, and then marketing the podcast. Because I think people kind of forget about step one and three often. They think it's good fun to talk to people, which it is, but there's a lot involved upfront to get organized and be well prepared. And there's also a lot afterwards to market the podcast. And also what I'm also interested in is the sales cycle that follows that.
Yeah, that's a big question. I'll try to break it down. We spend a lot of time right now on the planning, which is very critical. Is what's the purpose of the show? Why do you want to do the interviews? And then the end game is, what are you going to do with them once you have them? In the middle, when we start getting into the actual interview itself and learning how to interview, and having an outline with some questions is good, but also being aware of that you're listening to the answers, because a lot of times the answer spawns another question. So what I've always done is, my position is that when I'm doing an interview, I'm representing the public, I'm representing the audience, and I want to ask the questions that I think the audience wants to hear. Now, our interviews aren't combative, and, you know, we're not there to trip you up, but there's questions that people make broad statements, and it just begs for another question to drill down deeper on the topic. And so I think there's two things that we talk about. We talk about talent and we talk about skills. You know, I'm a football coach. So back in the day, you know, you had people that are very talented. They could walk on the field and they could play football. You had guys that didn't have the talent level, but they could learn skills. So we find this in interviewing. And one of the things we look at everybody that we're training to interview is, how much talent do they have? How much natural ability do they have to be able to carry an interview, to do the interview? And then what skills do we need to teach them? What questions? How do we need to teach them how to follow up on their questions, how to drill down deeper? Very frustrating for me. I get sent interviews sometimes and I listen to them. I just had an interview come in the other day. It's a new client. They sent me a link of an interview they did, and I have a whole page of questions because I couldn't figure out what the purpose was, what they were trying to accomplish with the interview. It wasn't broken down. If you can break your content down into segments and say, okay, you ask some questions, say, okay, these are the three most important parts of that segment. These are the two most important parts of that. This is the three most important parts of that. And give examples. Like we talked about B2B, B2C, and you gave specific examples. It makes it a much more powerful podcast. It gives credibility to the interview because the person knows you've been there, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We talked about, you know, the staffing agency and who they interviewed. And then we talked about Carnival Cruise Lines. So I put those things in my dialogue always to show people that this is not a theory. And we're not kind of making it up as we go along. This is the reality of how it works. And I think as a interviewer or interviewee, as an interviewer, you shouldn't be afraid to ask somebody for an example. You asked me for an example. I gave an example. Adds credibility to our interview. You know?
Yeah. So obviously you do training for people doing interviews, as you call it. I like to call them conversations for my own podcast. I prefer to have a conversation because for me, that puts me in the mindset of, I'm going to ask you some questions that will come up out of what you've told me.
Right.
Do you have a model or a couple of models that you think do a wonderful job interviewing, and whether, you know, whether that's in the podcasting space or somewhere else?
Well, I mean, 17,000 podcasts is a lot of podcasts. I didn't interview on all 17,000, trust me. Yeah. I've maybe done about 3,000 interviews. But what I will tell you is that I just happened to listen to an interview the other day where I was interviewed from a guy named Steve Sanson, who is with one of the owners of Kravis, which is a cash balance plan. And I was happy with the way Steve handled the interview. It was like probably one of the best interviews of the times I've ever been interviewed. And he drilled down on the questions. And when I made statements, he asked me more information to get a little more info. I think sometimes people write down 10 questions. They're concerned about getting through the 10 questions, as opposed to question number three is like, that's the money. That's the information. That's just the secret sauce. You know, ask me about that.
Yeah.
Ask, drill down deeper on that.
Yeah, well, certainly. I think I know from my own journey, I started out with having a long list of questions, and the early episodes were very scripted. And since then, I keep pruning back on, and typically I'll have 3 to 5 bullet points and then trust my instincts that I can have a conversation around that.
No, that's great. I think that's the way to do it. I think that when I get an interview with somebody's, they've sent me like a question and like an answer, it's all written out and scripted, I mix them all up. Because it's the worst interview. It's boring. People like sound bites. Mm. They like the little or the pause or the, you know, this is not a film movie. It's not a media film thing where it's just got to be polished perfect. And I think for the listener, what comes across is a little influx in your voice. And this is why it's better in print. Mm. You know, and if you trip up a little bit and you come back and explain it, that's fine.
Yeah. So what's Steve Sanson's podcast?
It's, they have a whole station with us. It's called Kravis. And I can send you a link if you'd like. They're a cash balance plan is a plan that bolts onto the back of a 401k plan. Mm-hmm. So it's an additional plan where plan savings can happen. And we started doing podcasts because it was very new to financial advisors. And a lot of financial advisors didn't understand what a cash balance plan was. But yet a cash balance plan allows flexibility in the 401k. I'll give you a quick example. You'll have a law firm, you've got a senior partner, and you've got a brand new attorney. The brand new attorney needs to take home more cash because he's got, you know, new house, family, kids, you know, he's got all this stuff going on. The old senior partner, he's in a retirement, he's kind of maybe in a legacy mode. So he wants to vest more money. So in a cash balance plan, you can adjust that and do things with it that you can't do with a 401k. So it's a great product, but it needs to be explained.
Hmm.
And that's one of the things about podcasts and advertising. It's long tail advertising. If you're an attorney, if you're a CPA, you might have a more detailed than a 30-second or 60-second commercial, right? So you're trying to drive people to your phone. The other thing we use podcasts for is to compress the sales cycle. By giving out good information, we can take and compress down the sales cycle so that, let's take if you're shopping for a car. We can give a lot of information on a podcast about different clients, about different features and things like that. The person walks in the showroom, the salesperson isn't starting from ground zero. They have a much more educated client. Anytime you have a more educated client, you compress your sales cycle. It doesn't take as long. Hmm. You don't have to take them from zero to close. So all the different topics, and a lot of times we build topics for a company that, for example, we take an attorney. An attorney can talk about, and a state attorney can have a podcast about, we've done this where it says, here's what I need you to do when you come in for your 1 hour free consultation. Here's the documents I need you to bring. I need you to bring all the deeds of trust of all the properties you have, your 401k information, da 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 da. So that when the client comes in, they've got that information, as opposed to the first thing, the first meeting, sitting there and saying, okay, well, it would have been nice if we would have had this, or the attorney having to repeat it 20 times.
Yeah.
That's just different strategies we take, and we'll create podcasts to train two people. One is we can train a sales force. Two is we can take and we can train the consumer. The other thing you can do with a podcast, and just stop me if I'm going off the chart here, but
no, this is wonderful. I sort of talk podcasting all day.
Yeah, you can take a podcast and you can use it to add credibility for new salespeople. So if I'm talking to you and you ask me a specific question, and it could be in any kind of arena, could be automotive, pharmaceutical, any vertical, and I say, you know what, I have a podcast where I interviewed the vice president of sales, and I'm going to send you this link, and it's going to specifically address all the questions from a third-party viewpoint, not just from me.
Hmm.
And so we create podcasts for companies or for individuals. Direct sales is a great one that we work with, because in direct sales, you have two things that you're trying to do. You're trying to add credibility and show how the product's different, number one. Number two, typically you're explaining the compensation plan. And they're two different things. You don't want to muddle them up. So if you're new to the business, you can interview one of the experts in that organization, and they can take and they can explain the compensation plan. At the same time, if you're new in the business and it has a variety of products, you might have gotten involved because you like taking the vitamins, but you have no idea about skincare, you can interview somebody about skincare. And based on that interview, not only you'll get knowledge, but you'll end up being able to shoot that out to somebody to expose them to your company. So there's a lot of, right now, what I see in the marketplace, and again, since 2006, we've kind of grown with this thing, is there's a lot of podcasts that are out there, and a lot of them are just the same. They're just interviewing people, or they're vanity, or they don't have a purpose. And yet, if you drill down, I don't know, I may have just listed 10 or 12 yeah. different purposes to use a podcast.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many great ideas there. I'm sort of scribbling down ideas all the time. It's flowing like crazy. I mean, I think what you mixed up there is kind of bringing in internal, so in a company, internal podcasts, but then leveraging those with the potential clients of the business as well. And
it builds my brand. Again, if I'm one of 20,000 distributors and I'm interviewing the VP of sales of a company, it makes me stand out. I'm building my brand.
Yeah. Both inside the organization and outside with potential clients.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Now, we did want to talk about networking a little bit. And for me, having this podcast, I mean, you didn't touch on this yet, but having podcasts where you are interviewing people across the board, you mentioned earlier that you can get a conversation very easily with someone, whereas having a sales conversation is much more difficult. So in that sense, it is a way to grow your network as well. So tell us a little bit about how you use podcasting to build the network, and then we might transition into networking.
Well, let's just take it like this. The title of my seminar that I do on networking is called Networking with a Purpose, as you could guess, right? A podcast for networking.
Yeah.
But we teach online and offline benefits to podcasting. And so we'll talk about some offline benefits. We talked a lot about online benefits. So offline benefit goes like this. Is let's say I'm an insurance salesperson and I'm at a networking event. Somebody approaches me and it's sort of like, I got a name badge on, or what do you do? What do you do? And I say, I sell car insurance. Well, right away, they're like, I don't need it.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've got the same, like for me, I've got Lainey, I've been buying car insurance for her for 20 years. So I don't need anybody else. But what I do at a networking event is to say, I have a radio show, a podcast show, and I'm always looking for interesting people to interview.
Hmm.
Well, right away that diffuses that. Now I've got a person selling me on why I should interview them, why they're interesting. Right? Yeah. Because nobody will not be interesting. So that's one thing that we talk about, the offline benefit. But when we talk to people about networking, we talk to them about networking and kind of come up with a game plan. A lot of people just go out the door, they're, hey, I'm going to this thing tonight. It's a mixture. I'm going to have some drinks and meet some people. And they don't really know what they want to do, what they want to accomplish by going to that event. I mean, do they want to get one lead? Are they happy if they got one lead? What are they trying to do? The other thing is I talk about the assets that you bring to a networking event. What's going to make you valuable to the people there? If you talk to somebody and you say, hey, I might have a lead for you. You know, I was at an event the other day and a guy did garage doors. And I'm like, you know, I have a friend of mine that wants to get another remote for their garage door, which is true. And so Now I become very important to that person, right? Because I'm a lead.
Yeah.
I have a lead. So bring leads to the networking event. Business coaching. If you have any business coaching background, you could talk to somebody and you might ask them about their strategy, you know, the profile of their customer. I always like to ask people that. What's the profile of your customer? Because they want to tell you who they want to refer to. I'll ask them about how you acquire those. What have you found that works good for you? Well, we advertise, we do this, we do that, or nothing. We don't know. We're still trying to find it. I always tell people to bring their great personality because nobody likes to be with somebody who's having a bad day.
Yeah.
If you have a bad day, stay home. Don't go to the meeting.
Hmm.
You know, and you might think about volunteering sometimes. I mean, sometimes you go to an event and somebody needs some help or some organization and you say, yeah, I can help out. I don't mind doing that because it's all about building relationships, not making the sale on the spot. You can always offer them advice like, hey, you know what? There's also another networking group that meets every Tuesday night or Thursday, whatever, you know, be helpful to people. Mm. So that's, you know, that's one part about networking. The other thing we talk about is to have a story and I don't like to use the word pitch, but have a way to respond to different situations. So if somebody is talking about, you know, if you're an attorney and they're talking about their parents and you might ask them about a wills and trust and here's situations, how you can help them. So just have a variety of things together. There's two kinds of networking. I used to be the director of business development for a company called Galpin Motors, the number one Ford dealer in the world, 30 years in a row. So when I would go to events, we had 1,300 people. We had 250 salespeople. So I wasn't necessarily representing just myself. I would come across other questions and things out in the field. So I had to have answers for a lot of things that would be thrown at me in the networking. So we try to have people plan that. Things that will happen to you if you're with any corporation is you're going to have people that are going to ask you about becoming a vendor. Hey, I sell widgets and who's the guy that would buy the widgets that I sell, right?
Hmm.
Toner cartridges, the number one thing you get asked all the time. It's like, who there could I call on to sell, you know? The other thing is charities. You know, I'm with a charity and can you tell me who donates? And then also the complaint filter. I call these filters. So I would have a way to answer with, a way to deal with those kind of questions I would get. And whether it was a complaint or it was somebody wanted money, I'd get asked a lot of times to, we support a lot of charities. And then also vendors. You know, always somebody was selling a copier or something and they wanted to know who they could call on at the company to do that. And they wanted to use me for a referral.
Hmm.
So that's one part of it.
So what was a typical response to those things that you used?
That
let's say somebody came to you and said, look, I represent this charity and who do I speak to in your organization to get a donation? What kind of response would you give?
Here's the best one. You can eliminate 75% of the requests right away. Say, could you put that in? Here's my card. Could you put that in, outlining it in an email to me and ask me exactly what you want?
Mm-hmm.
75% of the people never follow up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So that's what I always ask and put in writing. The same thing for a vendor. They would say, hey, you know, who buys whatever? We're a huge business. We buy everything. And I say, why don't you put all the information that you want me to forward to them into an email and then I'll do it.
Hmm.
So that's my way of screening because then I would know how diligent or serious they were or whatever. And if they would send it to me, I would forward it to the right person.
Hmm.
And a lot of times I was the right person, but I still want to get an email.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You want it in writing. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It also gives you time to digest the information and time to consider it and do some other research if you want to do that. Whereas often when you're confronted like that at a networking event or wherever it might be, I mean, with cold calls on the phone are the same for me. You feel under pressure and you're not sure you're making a good decision.
Yeah, you always have time. You don't have to make a decision on your feet.
Hmm. All right. So we talked earlier a little bit about coronavirus, and I know, you know, most parts of the world now, even smaller gatherings of people in person are being banned or strongly discouraged, whatever. What kind of things can we do in this environment to continue building our networks? Obviously, you know, podcasting is a really good one, but what tips would you have for us there?
Well, just what I see happening now, again, we're really 2 days into the quarantine. You know, here in Southern California, you know, we've now had the schools, the bars, the restaurants are closed down. Coffee shops are only available for takeout. You know, it's like the Starbucks are taking the chairs out of them and they're just, you can go in and take out, but you got to go leave. So I think that your skills of, what I'm finding is sending off emails to people and calling people and how are you doing? How are you dealing with this? How are you seeing that? You know, and basically you can do an email or phone call interview. It's no different. If you know how to interview somebody, you can still do it the same way, right? You can say, you can call somebody and say, hey, how are you doing? What do you see happening in your vertical that you're in? You know, I'm seeing that in some verticals, like I think it's Amazon just came out with, they're gonna hire 100,000 people because the online demand has become great now for online shopping. So that's 100,000 people that are probably getting laid off somewhere else that are going to go to Amazon. But the other thing that's happening here in the States is that the price of gas is going down because there's less gas being consumed. And that's good if you're an Uber driver or if you're delivering food, if you're a trucking company, a plumber, people that have, you know, trucks on the road, cars on the road, the price of gas has gone way down. So that's helpful. So I think there's some, I hate to say bright spots, but there's, when you look at each vertical, there's some things that are happening that are, you know, killing. I mean, if you're a toilet paper manufacturer right now, you're probably in heaven, right?
Except
you can't make enough of the stuff.
That's right.
You can't do it. So I think to build your network is really to stay in touch with people. And always one of the things we didn't touch on enough, and I think we maybe is a key thing, is referrals, is asking for referrals. Like when I would close my podcast, after the podcast, I'd always ask if it was an interesting person, a great interview. I'd say, and most times it was, I'd say, hey, you know somebody else that would like to be interviewed? And they would pitch me on somebody. So that expanded my network from the podcast. The same thing now, when I meet somebody at a networking event, and let's say they bought from, they're a client, they bought from somebody down, I go, well, that's great. I hope you had great service, great experience. Is there somebody else that you could think of in your network that might be interested in buying from us? So I think learning those questions, those tie downs to ask for the referral is very important. And I think a lot of times people get tied up in the sale. Remember, a person will say yes, no, or I know somebody. So you want to be constantly looking at, if they're not in the market right now for whatever you have, but they may know somebody that is.
Yeah, that's really great advice. So keep reaching out to people, use the phone and the internet to have chats, and the idea of asking for referrals is, I think, really good advice. And keep a watch out, Tony, for my last question on the podcast today too. I could go on talking podcasting and networking for ages. I'm just watching the time here a little bit and being respectful of your time. So I think it's a good point to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our listener who's primarily fitting into the innovators and leaders in their field kind of category with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers and inspire the listener to go and do something awesome today as a result. So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Well, you know, the challenge or the barriers have become the mother of invention, you know, the problem, solving the problems. So looking at the problems, looking at either the problems of your business growing or looking at problems that are out there, that will create invention. That'll make you more innovative. Taking on the hard things that have to happen in your business to make it grow, that'll make you innovative.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I always like to ask the question, what's the problem we're solving? Which I think is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's that's just the way I've everything that we've done, we've grown, and I've had a lot of businesses designing exercise equipment, football equipment, whether it be in the car business or whatever it is. It's always been looking at those problems, taking those problems and solving those. The rest of them are easy, right? If you take the biggest problem, I'll tell you from a football coach's standpoint, and I was very fortunate. I worked under Dick Vermeil at UCLA, great football coach. And our strategy was this. We would take and look at the strength of their defense, and we would take, and if we could run against that, if we can throw the ball into the strength, we knew that we could always be successful where they're weak.
Hmm.
But if you come out and you run against the weak part, you're running against this, you know, and they can adjust. But we knew if we could beat them where their strength was, that we could always have the upper hand. And I think business is the same way. You need to look at the hardest things that you have to accomplish, the hardest thing you have to do. And if you could beat those, everything else is easy.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Really good analogy too. Okay. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
I think that when you've owned enough companies, you figure out that if the problem gets to your desk, nobody in the food chain has been able to solve it. And so it's really yours to solve.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the pressure's on, and it's whether to help other people that have more knowledge than you solve the problem, you know, create. I think a good leader can take in, overcome the problem, help solve the problem. But a lot of times you have people that have more knowledge in your network that maybe they're just not addressing the problem correctly, or they're not looking at it correctly. And so, you know, maybe sometimes you have to get them out of the, this is the, always the way we did it kind of a way.
And some of that is asking different questions, right? Coming back to the conversation we had about interviewing before.
Yeah, it's also, I think, a way supporting, know they have your support to go outside the box.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, if they step out there to solve a problem, you're not going to, you know, yell and scream and kill them because they went outside the box. I mean, I think they have to have that confidence that from the top down, you're going to support the process they have, and they're trying to solve the problem. That's their goal.
Hmm.
Maybe sometimes it's clearly identifying the problem as the problem.
Yeah, that's right. Who was it that said a problem clearly identified is half solved?
Right. Right. Hmm.
All right. Now, what's one of the resources that you use most often?
That's kind of a broad question. I mean, I think I'm constantly searching, looking on the internet for information. I think the internet has been a great tool as it evolved to find information, to be able, whether it's for problem solving or things that you want to do, or just, you know, my generation, we grew up without having that information so readily available. And it's exciting now to have that much information available. I think that's one thing, is to have it available. The other thing is know what to do with it once you get it.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, it is. It is a magnificent resource, isn't it? I grew up in the era where we had some encyclopedias on the shelf, and it might be one encyclopedia, and then you'd find out just a little bit about the topic you were looking into, and then you'd have to either go out and buy books or buy magazines or go to the library to find more information, and it'd be very time consuming.
There's a side of that that says get out and experience things.
Hmm.
You know, it goes back to the old stories to tell in the seminar, is if you're drowning, do you want a lifeguard that saved 1,000 people, or do you want a guy that wrote 1,000 books on how to save people?
Hmm.
You know, so information's great, but you still need to get out and experience.
Yep. That's really good advice. And I think you pointed out earlier, you know, the value of interviewing people who've had that experience in their field on a podcast. So I think it all ties in with that. The credibility of someone who's experienced and lived it is much higher.
Yeah, I would say, like, you know, interviewing 500 people is probably like worth 2 years of college. You learn so much.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I'd certainly, one of the benefits for me in running this podcast is the amount of things I learn.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, what's the best way to keep a project on track?
Well, it's real simple. There's two things. There's purpose and process. And a clearly defined purpose will help you develop a process. Sometimes people get too caught up in the process and they lose track of what the end goal is, the end purpose. So I think always having that purpose on the forefront will help you stay on track.
Hmm.
And, you know, like very simply as football coach, you only score points when you put the ball in the end zone. So when you're running side to side, you're not scoring points. So the purpose of whatever you're doing, whatever the project is have a clearly defined purpose.
Hmm.
And then that purpose is in line with yourself, your company, whatever you want to accomplish. So every time you take a project, you know, project management is fairly easy, I think, defining the actual purpose of it and then figuring out the steps to get there. And it goes back to one of the things we used to work with is called intention and mechanism. What do you think is more important, intention or mechanism?
Hmm.
Well, at the end of the day, it's intention. Because you'll always figure out a mechanism to get there. It's the old story about the guy's parked with his girlfriend, and she says, you know, I'll give you a kiss if you put the top down. And the guy says, 45 minutes later, I got that kiss. And he says, what happened? He goes, how are you taking so long? He goes, I don't have a convertible.
Yeah.
He figured out the mechanism. And he, So intention mechanism, I think, is what, you know, we're talking about here. At the end of the day, you've got that goal, you've got that purpose, you've got that intention. You'll figure out a mechanism.
Hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. I love the story too. All right, beginning with the end in mind and keeping that end in mind. And what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Well, there's a couple things. One is building your brand by who you associate with. That's one thing. The other is honing a message that's maybe different and not giving people what they expect. So when you talk about differentiating yourself, number one is being yourself. That helps.
Yeah.
And not trying to be somebody else or a template. And I think figuring out the best process to get you to reach your end goal. So that alone, your work ethic, the way you handle it, the way you handle situations, that'll take you down a path that people will see the difference in you. I mean, there's two ways you can do it, is you can repel people or you can attract people. And if you get really focused and you start moving down a path and you create your game plan, your strategy, and stick to that, I think that helps you differentiate yourself. Now, when you talk about, there's some people that do things that are always dressed a certain way. I had a buddy of mine, his name was Paul Wagner. And he was a software guy. Well, he branded himself as a software magician. And he wore a magician's hat everywhere he went. And he handed out his business cards were printed like on the, you know, one side was like a back of a deck of cards. And he was a software magician. And everybody knew him that way. And when you thought about having your computer or software problem, whatever, you thought of Paul because you wanted the magic to happen to your computer. So there are ways to do that. You know, I have a real estate agent. She always wears purple. So there's some physical things that you can do to differentiate yourself. And I think that's just what you're looking for is how to find a niche, what's appropriate for the clients that you're trying to attract. If you're a real estate agent, you sell mostly to policemen, you know, you kind of want to look and act and if they feel comfortable with you, the way you look. So I don't know. It's an interesting question. It's a good question, but I think it's really finding a niche and being true to yourself to figure out what's going to make you stand out. Something flashy, or is it knowledge? You know, is it, I have one networking group that I go to and the woman that makes cabinets and she always brings a wood cabinet door with a different message on it.
You know,
you know, she's the wooden cabinet door lady. I don't know. What was behind your question? What were you thinking about?
It's just, something that's really interesting. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, be yourself. That's the first thing, but there's some really good examples you've shared with us there to be kind of creative about being memorable, but at the same time, you're still being yourself and addressing your target audience, which I think is an important point as well.
You know, differentiate yourself in a positive way because there's things you can do to stand out that are not, you know, not the best. Those are easy, but I think, you know, really finding what you're comfortable with. And there was a time when I was in the golf business, and when I was at Galpin, I was always golfing and doing charity golf tournaments. And I would always show up to a networking event in a golf shirt and shorts. Yeah. People just knew that was it. And then one time I showed up in a tie, and they're like, where's the shorts?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I just think that you just got to be what you are, you know, and be there.
Yeah, yeah, great advice. All right, well, thanks, Tony. This has been really great. Now, where can people find out more about you and maybe even reach out and say thank you for what you've shared with us today?
Yeah, well, anybody can access through our website, which is bigmediausa.com. And on there, I think there's a contact us, and they can shoot a question out to me or whatever, you know, we'll answer them, help them out. Yeah, so it's bigmediausa.com. That's it. It's a way to get a hold of me.
Great. Thanks, right. Tony. Now, we'll have a link to that in the show notes, of course. And what's a big piece of parting advice you'd like to leave the listener with today on our episode?
The parting question. I believe that it's getting creative and looking for a way to utilize. I think podcasting is the most inexpensive, best tool to ever come down to market yourself and build your brand. And I think that looking at that and saying, you know, one thing is to say, who would be the top five people that if I could talk to them, they could help me build my business. And once you draw those people, you figure out who they are, then this is a way to access them.
Hmm.
And I think a lot of times people don't look around and say, who could help me? Who would help me? Who would move my message forward? Who would help me move my brand? Who would add credibility to what I'm doing? I think those are probably as a parting shot is something I've always done. And that's something we do in our coaching and our process is to really look and say, what's out there? The other thing I would say is look at your assets. What assets do you bring to the table? A lot of times people don't look at their own personal assets that they bring, whether it's their personality, whether it's they're comforting to other people, whether they're a good listener and people like to interact with them. Knowing what your assets are that you can bring. We talk about that in our networking, is to say, what assets do you bring to the networking event? Why do people want to spend time with you? What do you have in your background? What do you have to offer to give people? So I think probably looking at two things is, how can people help you and who are they? And how can you help other people? If you put that out there, I guarantee you it'll come back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for that. That's wonderful advice. It does require some self-reflection, but certainly being focused on what can you provide to people that you're interacting with. All right. Well, finally, and here's my networking question. Who would you like me to chat with on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
Well, I'll tell you what, you should, you might think about interviewing my partner, Luann. She's an international best-selling author. She's a leading entrepreneur of the world. 3 years in a row, she's won the award for Canada. And she's on the board of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And if you really wanted to get some great insight from a female perspective for your listening audience, and I mean, that would be one. That'd be one great interview.
Yeah.
You know, and who to do. We have another, you know, you need to spice it up a little bit, you know, kind of mix it up with men and women. And so I just don't get one viewpoint, right?
That's right.
So Luann would be a great interview. We have another woman, Angelica, who is a Baroness. And she does a radio show with us. And Angelica is, she does a lot of high-end seminars and workshops for people just on etiquette. It's very interesting, but people are uncomfortable sometimes, especially they get promoted or they get into another group of people surrounding and etiquette and how to interact. And she just did a big seminar in Florida. She's based out of the Bahamas, and she's a great lady, a great problem solver. She works with people. She's a great coach. So that would be somebody. I mean, I can go on and on. We have, 300 show hosts that are all very talented and they all have a lot to offer and a lot to give. Question for you would be, what do you want to accomplish with your show? What's the purpose of it? Who would you like to interview to help you accomplish that purpose? Then we can sit down and come up with a group of people to interview. that would help you accomplish what you want to accomplish.
That's great. Well, you've turned it around. So thanks. So we'll get started with Leanne and Angelica, and we'll get introductions from you, and then we'll have a conversation offline about the rest of it.
Yeah, we've got some great folks. And, you know, one of the things I want to say is that we built Big Media just the way we tell people to build their business. So I started off interviewing people, and then they bought podcasts from us. And that's what we do now. So I interview a lot of people, and sometimes it's a one-off, and sometimes it's people that'll start, and they start doing, we've had people with us for 5-6 years, clients, that'll start doing interviews and start doing radio shows. So we're a product of our own philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And I think that's really important. So when things slow down a little bit, we just start interviewing more people.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the idea that you're a product of your own philosophy.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today, Tony. I've really enjoyed this immensely. I love talking podcasting in particular, but also how that fits in with networking.
I liked it. You did a great interview. You got a good style. It's comfortable. You got the questions. You got to the point. I enjoyed it quite a bit. You know, sometimes I've been interviewed and I'd rather be at the dentist. Well, you did a good job. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I think we got some good information out. I think if somebody listens to it, we gave them some good information. You were able to get those out and frame those questions right. So it was a great interview. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for that, Tony. Right. I really appreciate your feedback. And thanks for sharing that with us. So I wish you all the best for the future, and stay safe in these times, and let's keep in touch.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Hope you enjoyed that insightful and informative conversation with Tony and took something away from what he shared with us today. There are a lot of great tips and ideas for how to use your podcast to build your brand, grow your business, and connect with people who can help you grow your business. I'd love to know what you took away from Tony's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/TonyDeMaio. That is TonyDeMaio. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/TonyDeMaio. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Tony there, as well as links to the Big Media USA website, his social media pages, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. And if you'd like to chat with me directly about how you can use podcasting to grow your business, reach out to me via email. Tony suggested that we have a conversation with Lou Ann Mitchell of Big Media USA on a future InnovaBuzz podcast episode. So Lou Ann, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Tony DeMaio. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including Paddy Dominguez, a business growth strategist, and Glenn Twiddle, Australia's number one real estate coach. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.